No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the trainer,
take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me for another edition of Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle. Learning to fly with me, Captain Ed and Captain Keith. On our special holiday edition of the Big Show. Guys, how are you?
Good.
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, too, despite the fact that I think I put on, I'm going to go with 3 pounds.
It looks more like 5.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, the radio puts on a couple extra. Isn't that how it works, Keith?
That is exactly how it works.
Yes. So we have a lot to talk about, you know, as far as what happened this past week. You know, the holidays and maybe some gift ideas we have to share with you for the aviator on your list. But also, we have some things to reflect on because I've just got back from some travels, specifically in Las Vegas for our scuba radio show, where I was actually there covering the largest diving event in the world for divers. And actually, it ended up, guys, that I ended up doing some aviation work on the side. See, a good pilot is
Greg doing work? No.
You can't say that.
Yeah. No, it's
true. You can't say that and keep a serious face.
No, I'm trying. I'm trying as best I can. And okay. But here's the deal. You know, I went there with the idea I was going to focus on diving, but I ended up, you know, being a good flight student under your tutelage and always thinking about flying as well. So I ended up combining the two and, you know, crossing over and I don't know, multitasking, talking about diving, but also talking about flying. Into Las Vegas, and I actually brought a special guest on the show with us today that will back me up on my story, which should earn me at least a brownie point or two, a banana or something with my flight instructors. Guys?
Well, it depends on who the guest is.
Yeah. Well, it is Abington from the Abington Watch Company. She was also featured on Flying Alaska, and she is on Just Plane Radio right now. Abington, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Greg?
I am good. I'm good. So you'll back me up. We were hanging. We were talking about flying quite a bit in Vegas, right?
Yes, we were. And diving.
Diving and flying, not at the same time, because you got to have a certain amount of separation between the two.
Yep.
But Abington has these watches that she makes for women aviators. It's been quite successful in the aviation industry. We've seen her at Sun and
we
Fun.
We had her on when we did Sun and Fun. What was that, 2 years ago?
Absolutely.
It's good to have you back on.
And it's nice to be.
And you've done really good with that stuff, right, Abington?
Yeah, it's been my full-time job now since 2010. My flying has kind of gone part-time, and the watch company really took a full-time turn, and now I've got some really new, exciting things to introduce, which is why I was at the diving show.
Yes. Well, you know, she's been so successful with her watch company, she doesn't have any time to fly. Get it? Time, flying, watches. Didn't really work, did it? But anyway, you know, she is coming out with these dive watches. So she had, you know, reached out to our crew and said, hey, I know about this DEMA show. She's based in Las Vegas. So I introduced her to some of my diving friends. And now she's launching these new dive watches for the dive industry as well now. But it's going through this Kickstarter program, which, you know, we want to get out a plug for this right away because it's going on this weekend, right? Right, Abington?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
So how would they find it? They go to abington.com, which is your main website for the watches, and then there's a Kickstarter banner on there, I guess, or what? How would we do this?
All of the above. If you searched female pilot watches, the Abington Company comes up in the top Google search results, and it's right on our homepage there, a link to the Kickstarter. If you just went to Kickstarter and you searched anything like Abington or Dive Watch, we're there. So there's many roads to the top of the mountain. And you can pretty much find it even through our social media, Facebook, Twitter. Just follow us and be a fan. And we're posting about it all week long and had some great, great posts from DEMA, too. So there's even some pictures that are proof that you are working and combining both things.
Well, there you go.
I want to see this proof. What was that website again? Greg at work?
Abington.com.
All right.
There you go. See? Now, but the thing is you know, being this is like the busiest shopping weekend of the year, you might want to go check this out because they got some really cool pledge packages that you get for participating in their Kickstarter campaign. And if Abington is half as successful as she's been in the aviation world, I have a feeling this new dive watch program she's doing is going to be wildly successful. But there's some really neat opportunities for, you know, if you have someone on your list that you want to get them a unique gift for, there might be something for you to take a look at for her Kickstarter campaign and helping them out in their process as well as develop this new line of dive watches. All right, so we got that taken care of, and we'll cover it accordingly because I've, you know, this thing goes on for a few days or, I don't know, a couple more weeks, but get in on that now. But let's get back to flying. Let's talk about what Abington can back me up here on or fill in some gaps here because I think there's some synergy here, gang, that we can bridge some gaps between Orlando and Las Vegas and come up with more excuses to fly between the two. Now, first of all, Keith, have you done this? Have you flown to Vegas?
Yes, I have.
And do you like it? Do you like flying into Vegas?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you like going to Vegas and making a deposit to the local economy like I have done several times, or at least a couple times a year?
That in and of itself doesn't do anything for me.
That doesn't do much for you, but you like flying into it.
I do enjoy flying in there.
I'm guessing it could be somewhat challenging from the fact that we're, you know, at sea level down here in Orlando, and there, where are you, Abington? A couple thousand feet, am I right? Or two, three?
Yeah, it's about 2,200, give or take a few.
Okay, so that throws me off right off the bat because I was talking to her fiance, which he runs a flight school out there in Vegas, just like you guys do. And he was telling me, like, if you want to fly over the strip, you're at 800 feet above the surface, which puts you at about, you know, 2,800 feet AGL or something like that. I get it all mixed up, don't I?
No, you got it pretty accurately. They're allowed, the helicopters are allowed to do what's called a strip tour, where they can fly up and down the strip.
A strip tour on one of the nights of DEMA.
Let's not go there, Greg. It's family show.
Not that kind of strip tour.
What happens in Vegas was supposed to stay in Vegas.
Yes, you don't talk about it on the radio.
Yeah. So much for that idea.
No, but yeah, that's 800 feet AGL.
Okay.
So you're basically at or below 3,000 feet NSL.
Got it.
When you're doing those.
So you could do that in a helicopter a helicopter can do 800 AGL, but a fixed wing plane can fly what above the strip?
They don't really have a written rule. It really depends on all the traffic out of McCarran, which is the main international airport at Vegas. And if it's busy or if it's, you know, kind of low key, what time of day, how many helicopters are around. So they'll give you flight following. They'll give you a heading and make sure that, you know, you don't cross over a certain radial on the Las Vegas VORTAC, things like that. So it really depends for a smaller aircraft.
Got it. Now, Abington, you have flown through Orlando, or you've come down to Sun and Fun, I'm guessing, in the past, so you're somewhat familiar with the flying around us. Is it remarkably different in our part of the country versus yours, or what?
So different. I mean, I love both places for their differences. You don't really have mountainous terrain. You don't have torrential heat in the summer. It's a little bit stickier in Orlando. But it's a majority. It's flat. It's clear. It's beautiful. Sure, you can see isolated thunderstorms forever and a day, but you've got airports everywhere. Whereas we have three airports at Las Vegas, and you've got a whole bunch of desert and private little tiny strips on people's ranches around the surrounding desert. There's not a lot. You can't just go airport hop like you can in your area.
Well, you could land on the desert, couldn't you? Wouldn't that be like landing on a grass strip?
You're thinking what the dry lake beds, maybe.
Well, okay. I guess maybe I am.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be good. You'd run into like tumbleweeds. Oh, helicopters would love it. Right, yeah.
Helicopters, yeah. We do that all the time. We'll go out and land in the desert. And it's kind of neat because my fiance, Sean, he's got several helicopters and planes at his school, Elite Flight Training. And what we do is we'll just take one of the helicopters, and he's also a big gun owner, so we'll just go land out in the desert and then take the guns out and shoot the cactus and then hop back in the helicopter and fly back home. Well, that's a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, well, what did the cactus do to you that you would want to go shoot him? I mean...
They poke me. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that does sound like fun. I mean, that's an experience. You know, it's better than a $100 hamburger. Let's go shoot some cactus. I like it.
I think you took that Captain Keith into that. He'd take his 45 out and take a few shots.
That sounds appealing to you, doesn't it, Keith?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is flying down where we are is way easier than it is where you are. Let's just lay it out how it is, right?
I think so. I think on some ways it is. It's actually easier in Orlando with the terrain, but the airspace is really tricky in Vegas because Vegas sits in a valley, and you don't have a lot of Bravo clearances issued, so you really got to hug those mountains to get out of the airspace. That's probably the trickiest thing.
Okay. Well, it sounds like I need to stick with my flight training here in Orlando if it's easier. That's what I was trying to find out. Should I go there and do some training? But I think she pretty much sold me on the fact that I should stay put and try to get my certificate right where I'm at.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. More coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deepwater Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deepwater Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwatercay.com. That's deepwatercay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, "Oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky."
Yes. Yes.
This is Just Plane Radio. Craig, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Emington Welch, what do you think? Great gal.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and she's done a lot for the aviation world. You know, she was on that Flying Alaska show teaching Ariel Tweedle how to, I think I said her last name wrong, but Ariel, the star of Flying Wild Alaska on Discovery Channel. She was the flight instructor for Ariel.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now notice, Greg has problems with everybody else's names. 2 weeks ago, he couldn't remember what it was, Captain Dave or Captain Doug flying the airplane up to St. Simons. But, you know, he remembers their names really good.
Well, Abington, how many Abingtons have you met? Seriously. I mean, that's what I told her. I said, what should I call you? Because her nickname on the TV show was Juice.
Yeah.
And you remember when we met her at Sun and Fun, I was like, oh, yeah, that's Juice. Hey, Juice, how you doing? That's kind of cool that you're right here at the show. And we started chatting a little bit. And then when I asked her, you know, when we met at the dive show and I started introducing her to folks, I said, do you want me to introduce you as Juice? I mean, because that's cool. I can remember that. It's like Goose. It's like, you know, a whole kind of Top Gun nickname kind of thing. She goes, well, I'm trying to get away from that, Greg.
That doesn't bode well for the CEO of a company.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Yeah, and she wants to promote, obviously, Abington Company, the watch company. So she said, could you please call me Abington? So which was much more formal, but was just as strange sounding and registered with me. So I didn't forget her name, because how could you forget Abington? You know, trying to call someone Abington all the time.
I'm impressed. I'm just, you know, lucky that he remembers us.
If you guys had a unique name, like instead of Ed and Keith, which is about as generic as you could get, I would remember
Greg.
Yeah, exactly.
Greg.
Well, I don't usually have trouble remembering my own name.
Well, it's all about you.
There was that one night in Vegas, which it would help to have a little thing written across my forehead, just to, you know, when I looked in the mirror and, oh, yeah, my name's Greg and that's my room number. And I just look in a mirror when I'm going back to the hotel. That's where I'm at. That's an old trick I learned from a friend back in the day. But anyway, great gal. And, you know, she's doing big things, not only in the aviation industry, but maybe now in the diving industry. So we wish her luck with that and we'll cover it accordingly. I think she'll be a great resource for us.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, she did, and, you know, when we started talking about my flight training, and I told her that I got up to a certain point with you guys, and then you got busy, and I got lazy.
We got busy?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
We got busy, but we didn't get too busy to work with him.
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah. That was the excuse we were going to use. That's what I remember.
The excuse.
Yeah. Now the truth comes out. Okay.
She asked, how many hours do you have? And I said, 108. And she goes, what? You know, which is pretty much the universal reaction I get when I tell how many hours I have.
Yeah, but you're adding your simulator time in there, too.
So it doesn't really count, is what you're saying. So that sounds worse than it is.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. I mean, I always
don't give them an out.
It's only 20 hours.
Yeah, well, you know, one of my good friends in the dive industry, who's also a pilot, and he asked me this every time. He says, how are you doing on your flight certificate? And I said, well, I haven't got it yet. And he goes, how many hours you have? 108. He goes, oh, my God, what, are you slow or something? And I'm like, you know me. And I just leave it at that and walk away. Anyway, you know, she was saying, well, look, if you're having trouble, maybe we can work this out where you take me diving. Me and my fiance, we're both certified divers, but we're very new to the diving world. And you come out here to Vegas, and we'll finish up your flight training. What do you think of that, guys? What should I do? It sounds like she sold me on the idea of staying put, that I need to just learn here in Orlando.
Well, you know, there's a lot of advantages to learning in an environment like that.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, if you learn everything out here, and then you go fly out there, it could be extremely intimidating.
Yeah, what is flyers?
Well, because the aircraft performance and everything is so much different.
It's not going to perform as well, correct? Because we're at higher altitude, the air's thinner, it's drier, which is going to make the plane have to work harder to get at altitude. Am I right?
Wow.
Do I get a banana?
Get some banana.
Yes! I was so hoping I didn't have that backwards. I just lost it.
I guess
it,
he
didn't
has
I?
Been thinking.
See, I told you. I mean, you know, I still got my head in the game, even though I haven't been doing my active flight training per se. I still talk about it. And just the fact that, you know, you keep your head in the game, you hang with other aviators, it's only natural you're going to pick up a few things here and there. Am I right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and Clay, who I flew down to the Caribbean with, I mean, we talked a lot of shop in that regard. And, you know, so I do look at that as not really training, but just being aware of what's going on around you and trying to pick up what you can, like a sponge, you know, watching what he's doing at the controls, you know, talking to Abington when I was out in Vegas about some of those issues that they have to deal with. You know, she shared a few stories with her flight training that she has conducted out there, out west, and some of the issues they have to take into account. You know, they're not far from, you know, L.A., probably, is that the busiest airport in the country, or is it New York, L.A., Chicago?
Atlanta.
Atlanta's the busiest. Yeah. Okay. So, but L.A. has to be pretty busy, too, isn't it? LAX?
Yeah, it is, but Atlanta is number one, Chicago is number two.
Okay.
Now, that's for passenger movement. I think Chicago is actually busiest for...
Just planes in general? Yeah, just because they're in the middle of the country and everyone's flying through that area.
Right.
But anyway, you know, I just kind of talking a little shop in that regard of what it's like to do the training and some of the things that she's had to encounter, any kind of emergency situations, which have been very, very rare, but she has had a situation here before where she had to put it down and land it. I think she said she landed at some military runway at one point because of a situation, and she knew exactly what to do, but she said it was a little intimidating with her student when they landed at this runway, and she said, okay, stop the plane and immediately put your hands on the dash, because she knew what was happening next. Have you ever been in that situation?
No.
You've heard about this, though.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and evidently, I guess that's protocol. They want to see your hands, so she said, immediately put your hands on the dash so there are no issues. And, they worked through it accordingly. But they had an electronic malfunction that made them have to put down because they were on a night flight and they didn't have any radios or anything, and they had to get the plane down as quick as they could. So she followed procedure, and she was good to go, you know? So
that is a very big part of, flying out there, though. You know, we're spoiled out here with having airports every 5-10 miles,
it seems like.
Along the coast.
But I thought you could land. Can't you land on the desert? All you have to look out for is tumbleweed, isn't it?
It's not flat.
Desert's not flat.
Or smooth. Dry lake beds, well, like Edwards Air Force Base, those are smooth. But yeah.
Death Valley, I drove through there last year.
Not smooth enough to land an airplane.
All right. The road would be better. And you got those tumbleweeds and those cactus. Those would be a bad obstacle to run into. I guess that's why she was shooting them, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Get rid of them.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Gregor, co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. I don't know, do I seem a little bit more upbeat than normal guys after my trip to Vegas, or is it just the caffeine talking right now?
I think it's the caffeine.
It could be that. I do feel a little wiry. I had 2 cups of coffee before the show today.
Real coffee?
Well,
it's girl coffee.
One of my specially concocted frufaccinos. That counts, doesn't it? It's the holidays. Just go with it. Right?
All right. Fine.
All right. So, being around Abington and her fiancé, which really got a great guy, Sean, who runs a flight school there, it was kind of cool to talk, what it's like to run a flight school and some of the issues they deal with out there in Vegas. And I think we got to connect those dots, guys. I think how long would it take us to do a cross country to Vegas and say a 182?
All right,
you're going to pull out your 4-flight.
Okay. We're gonna have our friends at 4-flight help us with that.
Yeah, it's
a long time.
It's a long way for sure. But I'm guessing you could do it in a 4-hopper, 4 legs. You think, Keith? That's my initial guess. Do like two-hour legs, 2 to 3-hour legs, and do that in four times, 8 hours, 10 hours, in a 182 maybe. That might be pushing it for 182.
Yeah, I think
you're
going to be pushing it there.
You'd have to go to a faster plane, like the Baron we flew to Bimini or something like that, maybe. Yep. Something you get up in the words of the 170 knots thereabouts.
What's the airport identifier there? Do you know, Keith?
LAS is international, but I don't know what the executive. I think her and Sean told me there's two. There's LAS, Las Vegas International, and then there's two like executive airports. Around the Las Vegas vicinity.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing like planning a flight right here live on the radio. That's just what we do at Just Plane Radio.
You should let Greg do this.
Well,
we'd still be waiting because I've got it all done now. 1,822 miles.
Yeah.
175 gallons, 13 hours, 30 minutes, and 182.
They'd be five legs at least. Then,
no, right? Not really. That thing's got about 6 hours of fuel. So.
Oh, would it? Oh,
you know, okay. You could
depends
do, you
on
could,
how long your bladder will last.
4 hours.
Food and drinks.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can never be with someone who likes Joni Mitchell. It's Cloud's Illusions, I recall. I really don't know Clouds at all. What does that mean? Is she a pilot? Is she taking flying lessons? It must be a metaphor for something, but I don't know what it is.
I just want to fly. I come hurting on the sky up so high. Put your arms around me, baby. Put your arms around me, baby. I just want to fly. Fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals, the place where you can go to learn how to fly and be like, well, not like me. You'll actually get your certificate with Ed and Keith if you go to ftpros.com and reach out to them through there and learn how to fly. And, you know, the thing is, you know, all this chatter of going to Vegas and stuff, I have to go there at least a couple times a year. And that would be a cool thing. It would just be almost as fun as flying down through the Caribbean with Clay, like I did a few weeks ago, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done that? I mean, I know you have, Keith, but you've done it for commercial flights, right?
Well, commercial, and I've done it in single-engine airplanes.
Yeah, just doing deliveries and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because actually that's what Abington does as well. She was telling me that she has done some stuff for Cessna delivering planes to, like, Russia and all kinds of crazy things like this. Which is pretty insane stuff, isn't it? I mean, when you get out there and fly into, like, foreign countries and things like that, that's pretty extreme, isn't it? Or is it?
No, not really.
Not really? It's
just
no big deal?
Paperwork.
Just knowing, paperwork.
Knowing
and,
what paper to submit.
And then, but flying over water for so long. I mean, well, she was doing that flying Alaska stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I asked her about that. I said, is that as extreme as it looks? You know, did you ever find yourself in one of those crazy storms that you would see on that TV show? And she said, well, when I was flying Ariel was, you know, just getting her, her certificate. So they weren't doing anything other than VFR flying in Alaska. So that she didn't do anything extreme with Ariel. However, she went out with her dad a couple times where they'd go and land on skis on an ice, like on an ice pack.
Glacier, yeah.
Yeah, or something. And I was like, ooh. And she goes, yeah, that was pretty crazy stuff. But she, you know, she loved it, obviously. So she's done all this crazy extreme stuff, which is pretty adventurous to me, isn't it? Or are you saying it's more, it sounds cooler than it is? Or it sounds more impressive than it is? Is that the way I'm thinking of this?
I guess it just depends on your viewpoint of it. You know, I mean, you know, when you're delivering airplanes overseas,
yeah,
you know, you're strapping on, you know, removable fuel tanks and all that kind of stuff, you know. So
right,
and it's a lot of long flying all by yourself.
All by yourself, you got to be happy with yourself, I guess, or you go a little crazy.
That'd be perfect for you, Greg. You're really happy with yourself.
Well, I don't think it's the same kind of happy we're talking about, you know.
But I mean, you know, not a whole lot of people can say that they've crossed, you know, say the Atlantic, you know,
right,
and flown to Europe in a single engine airplane.
Well, this is Amelia Earhart type stuff, isn't it? You're flying.
Probably not a good analogy. Charles Lindbergh might be a better analogy.
Okay, maybe so. You're probably
he made
right.
It.
Yeah, he made it right. But I mean, the that fear of the unknown, being by yourself, there's no one else to rely on except yourself.
Yeah,
right.
It's a lot of self-reliance type stuff, and I don't know. Say it would take a certain type of mentality and personality to be able to do this type of stuff, I'm guessing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you definitely have to have some confidence in yourself and in your abilities.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of planning that goes into, you know, and there's companies out there that help you, you know, get through all the paperwork stuff and everything else, so.
Well, yeah. You know, the thing at the dive show last week in Vegas, when I introduced Abington to some of my dive friends, which, you know, I've been doing this for like 18 years, so I know a lot of big players in the dive industry. You know, you look at Abington, and you guys met her. She doesn't really project that kind of super aviator look that, unfortunately, is probably not fair for a woman of her stature, because she's kind of petite and that kind of thing. But I introduced her. I was like, hey, don't let her looks fool you. She is a super flyer. She is a super pilot. And I was trying to explain to everybody, like, this girl has done some crazy, insane flying things that I wish I could even approach to reach someday. You know
what I'm saying? You have to get your certificate first.
I got to get my certificate first. Or we just recruit her as one of, you know, my pilots. And I don't know. I keep telling Ed and Keith that if they would just fly me over to the Bahamas, I'd take them diving and stuff. And Ed won't get his passport, and Keith doesn't swim. So we got some issues with our crew here at Just Plain Radio, and that whole scenario doesn't really work. But with Abington and her fiancé, Sean, they're both open water certified divers and would like to do some more diving. I might be able to work a deal there. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I mean, you guys could participate in this too, but I'm just saying we can work.
I'm going to learn how to swim.
Yeah, well, I know you are. If nothing else, we're going to just push them out of the plane when we're flying over between you know, Florida and the Bahamas, and he's going to swim or he's not. And we'll have a vacancy.
That means Greg's going swimming as well.
You're going to grab him and pull him with you?
No.
What? What do you mean?
Well, because you're not going to be in the
airplane.
That's right. The airplane's
going in. You don't
have
a passport, so you can't go over there. So, and Greg can't land the airplane anymore. So,
wait a minute. No, I can. I can land it. You may not be able to fly it after I do, and I may not be able to walk away from the from the site, but I can definitely land an airplane. I've gotten that much confidence.
Oh, that's good.
You know, baby steps, Keith, baby steps. But anyway, you know, it's fun to kind of connect some of these dots. You know what I mean? And it kind of brings it back to when we started this show and I told you what my ultimate goal is to get to some of these dive sites that I've been asked to go to for our other show, our Scuba Radio show. Easier and just, you know, making the journey fun as opposed to, you know, flying in a commercial carrier, which I had to do that back and forth from Vegas. And I got to tell you, 13 hours in a 182 actually sounds way more fun than what I had to do with
it is,
you know, connecting
through
Kansas City and whatever. I mean, it was
who
just
connects
awful.
Through Kansas City? Who would fly?
Southwest. Between Orlando and Vegas. We had a stop in Kansas City. I guess that was on the way back. It was two different places. I don't know. They had me going weird, you know, stops here and there, but, I got there, but you know, it's just not the same when you get that, you know, have that experience of flying with, a personal, you know, aviator or a private pilot, that changes the game. You know what I'm saying? It almost makes it ruins you. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, when my wife and I went to Seattle this past August for our cruise, I was actually thankful for this stopover in Houston.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sit that long to go direct to Seattle in a cramped airplane, in a commercial airliner. I have more room in a 182 than I do in a commercial airliner.
Well, good point. That's true. I was surprised when we flew up to Atlanta up to
St.
Georgia.
Simons,
for St. Simons for the AOPA.
How much room you had in the back?
I didn't realize it was that much room. That was massive.
Well, that's because you're sitting behind me and I'm so short.
Well, even if I was sitting...
You had plenty of leg room.
If I was sitting behind Doug.
Dave!
No! See, if he would have had a
still
name...
Still can't get it.
Like Davington.
I got to put in a plug for Southwest Airlines, though, because you know, their new airplanes, the 737-800 series, the brand new ones that they've got, they have more legroom, and it's a very comfortable airplane.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have nothing bad to say about Southwest on my flight out to Vegas. I mean, they do well. I mean, they do good. But still, even with that extra legroom, you got to deal with everybody. And, you know, if you, God forbid, if you get stuck next to someone who's kind of a pain in the butt, or like on my way back, the middle seat guy.
It's like sitting next to Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah, wait a minute. I'm a good passenger. No, the guy on the way back, he was kind of a muscular guy, and he was sitting in the middle seat between us. Yeah. And I was kind of like, hey, dude, I'm like already out in the aisle. Come on, really? I got to touch your arm all this for the next 4 hours? I feel very awkward.
He just liked you, that's all.
Well, maybe. Well, who doesn't? But yeah, no. I don't know. I would prefer to have a little bit more room. And I was surprised how much room we had in the 182 in the back seat, even behind Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. It was much.
And Dave's a tall guy.
Yeah. So
that's why I was saying he's behind me. I'd even more.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just forgot how far you guys would move the seats up. I mean, when we get in, you know, when the seats are all the way back, you don't think you got that much room. But when you're flying the plane, yeah, you got to get up close enough to be able to work the rudder pedals. And I had plenty of room back there. I felt like I was being chauffeured through the sky.
You were.
I was.
He was.
This is the way. This is the way life was supposed to be for me. It just hasn't happened enough yet.
Now, he didn't understand what he was that day, and I had to explain it to him. He was parasite drag.
A parasitic drag.
Yes,
is how I've told everybody.
He's like whatever. But then when we saw Nick and Pedro at St. Simon's Island, I told them that they thought it was very funny.
They thought it was hilarious. I went and looked it up since then. Now I know. And I'm not a parasite. I don't latch onto your intestines and suck the blood from your life force. Well, at least not everybody. Just Ed and Keith.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
When it comes to product development, Lightspeed Aviation operates with a simple strategy. Know your customer well and remain committed to the relentless product evolution that expands performance to the edge of technological possibilities. This approach has made Lightspeed the innovation leader and, along with their reputation for remarkable customer support, earned them tremendous respect and brand loyalty. See what's possible when a legacy of innovation and commitment to supporting a pilot's passion meet at LightspeedAviation.com.
Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like heavy spikes with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. Now, Captain Keith, you know, he works during the week in St. Louis. And literally, I don't know, minutes, a mile or two away from all this news nonsense going on in Ferguson, Missouri. Is that right?
Yeah, the office is about 3 miles away, and my hotel is about 5 miles away.
Hmm. So, you know, we talked about this before where you were dealing with some of the TFRs that were put in place when the initial event happened and they started having some riots and things like that. And the local police set up a TFR. The media was all upset because it was kind of like, hey, are you just trying to keep the media out here? They were claiming it was gunfire, blah, blah, blah. Times will, we'll tell. But now here we got all this new, a fresh round of nonsense going on. And they set up some new TFRs for the same reason. Well, what are you hearing there? Because you were right there in the middle of it when it happened this week. Is that right?
Yeah, I was up there when they announced the grand jury verdict.
Yeah.
And it was all peaceful and quiet for about
20 minutes.
No, it wasn't even that much, I think.
Okay.
Once he said that there was going to be no charge.
Right.
It started within probably 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Is when they started.
Now, were you just watching it on TV like everyone else, or could you hear it? You were that so close.
No, I was holed up in my hotel. I didn't want to be outside anywhere.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. Were they even telling you anything at the hotel? Like, hey, we'd prefer our guests stay indoors here and be safe kind of thing? Or?
They did, and we had a bunch of the tactical guys were staying at the hotel as well.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. So you got, did you talk to some of those folks too?
I didn't because I left.
Oh, okay.
I decided to come home instead.
Yeah. Well, what about the TFR thing? Have you hear any pilots talking about flying over that area and were concerned from that standpoint, or did you just kind of stay out of that whole mess?
No, Monday night, the St. Louis International got shut down.
Right.
But really, it was more for winds than it was for anything else.
Well, I saw on the news they set up a TFR because of gunfire.
They did.
Yeah.
But... The way the winds were, it was very, very windy that day, and so they're using a different runway, and they were coming in directly over the top of that area, and that's why they went ahead and just shut it down.
They just shut it down because they couldn't get any planes in any other way, I guess,
yeah,
because of that, huh?
Correct.
I got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully things will settle down, and we'll get over this stuff once and for all. And it'll probably take a while, I guess, but how it's affecting aviation is kind of unique in that sense for that area. And you got to go back out there. You're working next week, I guess, right? Again?
No, next week I'm
taking some holiday time down.
I am.
Off?
I'm going to go do some deer hunting next week.
Oh, okay. That's right. So, yeah, maybe next week we'll have Keith.
He's going to go kill Bambi.
I'm going to try.
shooting cactus sounds so much more, earth friendly.
Now, how could that be earth friendly? I can eat Bambi.
Well, you could eat cactus, too. It just might,
I could drink
in your mouth.
The water out of cactus to keep me hydrated in the desert, but
yeah.
That's not, I don't think you can eat it
And
much.
You could drink the blood of Bambi. Did I just say that out loud?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, that was your exterior voice.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
But
anyway.
Yeah. So, no,
it's what?
It's going to be a lot of fun. But I'm just going to take a break from there for a week. So hopefully it'll be all calmed down by the time I get back up there.
Okay. But we may still have him on via cell phone. So we'll plan on calling him right when he's about to shoot Bambi and capture that moment or give Bambi a last minute chance to get away kind of deal.
No, you can try and time it that way.
Yeah, but he won't answer.
You think? You would answer, wouldn't you? Well, it really wouldn't matter. The cell phone would go off. And you hear some wacky, cell phone ringer. What do you have, like the duck sound go off when people call you? What's your ringer on your cell
Mine's
phone?
Mine's just the old
ring, ring.
Old ring, ring.
Ring, yeah. Ring, ring, ring. Yeah. Well, it'll scare Bambi away, so we'll call him every 5 minutes.
It'll be turned off, though.
Oh, it'll be turned off. Well, maybe even the vibrate. You'll have the vibrate on, won't you?
No, I'll have it turned off.
Oh, that's just not
with
right.
I bet you back at the house.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll do what we can. But maybe we can get a full report from him, or a report from the field, Captain Keith going hunting. But anyway, the other thing, too, you had a little recorder, and you said you had some story because you lost your Just Plain Radio recorder in St. Louis, and then you just found it. You brought it into the studio today. What happened, Keith?
I did. Well, I'm pretty meticulous, and I'm a little bit OCD.
A little?
Just a tad, really?
Really?
We have that in common.
That's kind of like Greg kind of being into himself.
All right. So,
I don't know what he's talking about either, Keith. Can you go ahead?
Yeah, exactly. So I keep the recorder in my desk at work.
Okay.
And I take it back to the hotel when I go back to the hotel on Mondays.
Right.
And I left the hotel one night,
mm-hmm.
and I went directly to the airport. I didn't go to the office to drop it off. And so I didn't want to just leave it in the car, so I stuck it in my glove box where it wouldn't be able to be seen.
Uh-huh.
I've never done that before, so it was out of my routine.
Got it.
He hid it on himself.
And so I searched everything. I mean,
I remember you calling me. He said, Greg, I hate to report this to you, but the recorder you let me use for the show, I lost it.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
We went back to old rooms that I had stayed in at the hotel and everything, you know, and I mean, we did everything. We turned that place upside down and turned my office upside down up there. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find it anywhere. And I was just, of all things, I was going through my car looking for an ice scraper the other day.
Yeah. I feel sorry for you, man.
Yeah. And then you look at it and go, no!
And I open a glove box and I go, what is this? Oh, man.
So we got it back. That's good. I mean, I appreciate that, you know, that you found it. We'll put it to good use again. But in the meantime, I've bought a new one, and you've got a new one, too. So we got more. Redundancy.
Good to go.
Redundancy, yeah. Yes.
We always got a plan B. You got to always have a backup plan, right? That's just being a good pilot.
They didn't like it coming through security last night, though.
They didn't like the recorder?
No.
It does look a little space-age kind of taser look.
And I'm sure you thoroughly enjoyed spending extra time with the TSA.
I made him change his gloves and everything.
We got a cavity search over here. And Keith's like, yes!
Oh, I did. You've been touching everything with them.
Oh my God. Too much information, especially for a holiday weekend. But that's what you get, and we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.